Chasing Harry Winston, written by Lauren Weisberger and read by Laurel Lefkow.
Chapter 1. Panties is a vile word. When Lee's doorbell rang unexpectedly at 9 on a Monday night, she did not think, "Gee, I wonder who that could be." She thought, "Shit, go away." Were there people who actually welcomed unannounced visitors when they just stopped by to say hello or check in? Recluses, probably. Or those friendly Midwestern folks she'd seen depicted in Big Love but had never actually met? Yes, they probably didn't mind. But this was an affront. Monday nights were sacred and completely off-limits to the rest of the world, a time of no human contact, when Lee could veg out in sweats and watch episode after beautiful TiVo'd episode of Project Runway. It was her only time alone all week, and after some intensive training on her part, her friends, her family, and her boyfriend Russell finally abided by it. The girls had stopped asking for Monday night plans at the end of the 90s. Russell, who in the beginning of their relationship had openly balked, now quietly contained his resentment and in football season relished having his own Monday nights free. Her mother struggled through one night a week without picking up the phone to call, finally accepting after all these years that she wouldn't hear from Lee until Tuesday morning, no matter how many times she hit redial. Even Lee's publisher knew better than to assign her Monday night reading, or, God forbid, knew not to log an interrupting phone call, which is precisely why it was so incredible that her doorbell had just rung. Incredible. And panic-inducing. Figuring it was her super, there to change the air conditioning filter, or one of the delivery guys from Hot Enchiladas leaving a menu, or most likely of all, someone just confusing her door with one of her neighbors, she hit mute on the TV remote and did not move a muscle. She cocked her head to the side like a Labrador, straining for any confirmation that the intruder had left. But the only thing she heard was the dull, constant thudding from above. Suffering from what her old shrink called noise sensitivity, and everyone else described as fucking neurotic, Lee had, of course, thoroughly scoped out her upstairs neighbor before signing over her life savings. The apartment might have been the most perfect she'd seen in a year and a half of looking, but she hadn't wanted to take any chances. Lee had asked Adriana for the scoop on the woman above her in apartment 17D, but her friend had just pursed her pouty lips and shrugged. No matter that Adriana had lived in the building's full-floor penthouse apartment from the day her parents had moved from Sao Paulo to New York nearly 2 decades before, she had completely embraced the New Yorker's "I promise not to acknowledge you if you extend me the same courtesy" attitude toward her neighbors and could offer Lee no info on her neighbor. And so, on a blustery December Saturday, right before Christmas, Lee had slipped the building's doorman $20, Bond style, and waited in the lobby, pretending to read a manuscript. After Lee spent 3 hours scanning the same anecdote, the doorman coughed loudly and looked at her over the top of his glasses with meaning. Glancing up, Lee felt an immediate wave of relief. Before her, removing a QVC catalog from an unlocked mailbox, stood an overweight woman in a polka-dot house dress. Not a day younger than 80, thought Lee, and she breathed a sigh of relief. There would be no stilettos clacking against the hardwood floors, no late-night parties, no parade of visitors stomping around. The very next day, Lee wrote a check for the down payment. And 2 months later, she excitedly moved into her mint-condition one-bedroom dream apartment.